The moment that any of you, me, any Christian, the moment that you rise up and say, I'm going to do this for the Lord, I have the plan of God, I'm going to tell you, others are going to mock you, they're going to ridicule you, they are going to laugh at you, and they're going to oppose you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. The God of heaven himself will prosper. Let's listen in.
And look what happened in verse 11. He says, and so I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. I love that. God's leader, God's builder has now arrived in Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that we're not told anything about that nearly a thousand mile journey to Jerusalem? Nothing at all. And can you imagine Nehemiah coming into Jerusalem with a king's military escort? You know that people are talking and things that are going on. But loved one, listen, you know what? Whenever you do anything for God, you have to expect opposition, don't you? And it's exactly what was happening there. But however, there is never going to be a battle. There's never going to be opposition unless the believer rises up and does what God wants him to do. That's when opposition begins. If you're not doing anything for God, you probably are not having any opposition in your life at all. But we must expect it. And I tell you, the moment that a believer says, you know what, I'm going to faithfully attend church, or I'm going to serve, or I'm going to tithe, or I'm going to have a godly marriage, I'm going to be a spiritual leader in my home, whatever it is, you have to expect opposition from the wicked one. The moment we say we're going to do something, the devil says, oh yeah, I'm going to rise up to oppose you. That's why we have to walk over him through the word of God. Amen? Yeah. He's defeated and we're not defeated. You know, we take up the whole armor of God that we may defeat the wicked one and so forth. Now, look at verse 11 again. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I'm going, okay, why did you say that? You see, Nehemiah, what's the deal with these 3 days here? First of all, Nehemiah, did he have the plan? Yes, he had the plan. But he waited. There's something about arriving at the will of God. Now you're where you're supposed to be. But I have learned, loved one, listen. Okay, just because you arrived doesn't mean you are to act. He waited. He'd been on the road for probably 3 months, maybe longer. It was a long, long journey. You see, timing is always important. It's so easy. We've all been guilty of it. I am included. Timing is so important. We get ahead of God. And that's the worst thing that we can do, you know. But there was another reason. I believe that those 3 days, Nehemiah was resting. He was resting. He was praying. You know, you have learned, as I have, that the worst thing that we can do is make a very, very important decision when we're exhausted or when we're emotionally exhausted. When we're going through, we lose a loved one and all of a sudden you start making a decision. No, don't do that. Just wait. I counseled a family, they're not from this church, the other day, and they just lost the husband and left her very well-to-do, thank God. And immediately said, well, I'm going to do this. I said, it's none of my business. I'm not your pastor, but you did seek my counsel. I said, wait 6 months. You're not hurting. You don't need to do anything with what's been left except just rest now because you're emotionally distraught. You've just lost the husband that you've been with for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? Just wait now. Just rest. Get collected. And then once you are refreshed, once you're renewed, doesn't mean the hurt's going to go away, but it does mean that you can start making wise decisions because the decisions that you make now are not going to be wise because you're emotionally well, you're exhausted. Amen? So important that we do that. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:7, said there's a time for silence and there's a time to speak. Nehemiah was very quiet. Now watch it, verse 12 here. He says, then I arose in the night, not in the morning, at nighttime, And I and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put in my heart. Now, what had God put in Nehemiah's heart? The plan. Do you understand? He put the plan in Nehemiah's heart on what he wanted him to do there in Jerusalem. He says, so I told no one about the plan that my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. More, what wisdom is that? He just said, listen, I'm not telling a soul anything. I'm going out at nighttime that I'll not be observed. And now I'm going to go alone, like on a secret survey, if you will. I'm going to go inspect. I'm going to appraise the walls at Jerusalem. Listen now. You know, we say that we need to be a hard worker. And we should be hard workers. But you know what? Hard work alone never ensures that you're going to be a success. You have to plan before you do the hard work. Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of like at Christmas time, parents, you know how it is. They say your little ones, and you buy the present that you have to put together. And if, you know, husbands, if you're like me, you go, I don't need those instructions. And you do need them. Before you touch that bicycle or whatever it was that you were, listen, I would have all kinds of stuff left over. I didn't want to tell Becky. I still have a drawer full, you know, at home after all these years. No, you read the instruction. You get out the plan. Now, after you know the plan, then you start building, because it has to be built the right way. See, that's how a leader truly plans. You just don't start something, so forth. Now, look at the inspection that he starts here in verse 13. He says, and I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent wall. And I don't know, no one knows really what the serpent wall was. And the refuse gate. Now, that's where they took all the refuse and waste and garbage and so forth. And look what he did. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate. Now, that was over by the Kidron Brook. And to the king's pool. But there was no room for the animal under me to pass. And the reason, there was just so much debris and rubbish, he now had to go on foot. So I went up in the night by the valley and, again, viewed the wall. Then I turned back, entered the valley gate, and returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. Now listen carefully. This is so important. What Nehemiah did, how Nehemiah planned. He went out at night and he was all alone. I don't know the people that he took with him. It probably was some of the military escort that he had, because I don't know if he made any friends there yet, if you know what I mean. And he didn't want them to know what he was doing anyway. But what he did do is very important, because if you'll notice in verse 13, and I believe it's 15, the word viewed is there. And if you look up that word viewed in the Hebrew, it means to really look into something very, very carefully. It's also, it's a medical word. It means to, like, probe, if you will, into a wound to find out how much infection or how bad the wound really is. So while others were asleep, he was awake. While other people rested, he was working. You know why? He was a wise leader who had a plan from God. Now listen, Nehemiah was doing his homework. He was getting all the facts that he could. Boy, and facts are so important, because you can't make a proper decision without them. Isn't that right? That's right. Listen, he didn't have Google, you know, hey Siri or whatever. He didn't have any of that. He had God. Thank Amen. Now listen, trusting God doesn't mean you don't do any research. Do you understand? That doesn't mean that. Well, I just trust the Lord's going to help me. Well, have you done any research? No. Well, why not? Well, I just trust the Lord. Well, maybe he wants you to check out the facts. Maybe so you know how to pray. Maybe so you can present the facts that he already knows that you need to know to him. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, a leader does his own research. You need to know the facts. Don't make those quick decisions. Wait until the Lord tells you. People say, Bill, you're slow. Yes, I am. Sometimes I'm not, though. When I know that the Lord says, go, then you run. But if you don't have the go, that means you have to wait. Doesn't it make sense? See, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, it says, get the facts at any price. Hold tightly to all the good sense you can get. Proverbs 18:13. What a shame. Yes, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. That's a true word. Man, listen, real leaders spend more time in God's prayer room than in a boardroom. Do you understand? The boardroom does no good unless you've been in the prayer room. So after probing, doing the inspection, getting all the facts, now he finally opens up and talks to the people. Look at verse 17. And when I said to them, meaning the people of verse 16, the nobles, the priests, and so forth, he says, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates and is burned with fire. And look what he says. He says, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach or a disgrace. See, they were defenseless. They were open to all kinds of attack. Any city that didn't have a wall was looked upon as a disgraced city and so forth. And that's what he's saying. You know, what's really interesting here is that God had to bring a leader from the outside, a cupbearer, a layman, if you will, all the way from Persia to Jerusalem. Think about that for a moment. And I mean, there was no one there among the thousands in Jerusalem. Listen, without leadership, nothing happens. Never. And it's a proven fact right here. So what did Nehemiah do? The first thing he did, he identified himself with the people. He says, man, listen, he says, we're in deep trouble. You know we're in deep trouble. We have to do something about it. He was basically saying, listen, one man can't do this. It's going to take all of us. And he calls for everyone not to work for him. He calls for everyone to work with him. What a great man this guy is. In other words, he's saying, you know what? If you worship the same God that I worship, shouldn't you be doing the same work that I'm doing? Isn't that right? And that's what should be happening in the church. When we get to chapter 3 in Nehemiah, I believe that we're going to find 42, and I may be wrong on that, 42 groups of leaders that are going to join together as one man to start building the wall. You know, there's something about the church, Christians, being in perfect agreement, isn't it? You know, S.D. Gordon said this, a united church will be an unconquerable church. Now, what motivated them? You know, today I'm not critical of any other church or pastor, but you know, like if you're going to build a wall, well, listen, would you like to buy a brick and have your name on it, you know, and we're going to do that out there, but no. You know what I'm saying? I'm not condemning that. I mean, I'm just saying I wouldn't do that. But Nehemiah doesn't, he doesn't do that either. He doesn't say, you know, you can get a reward if you put a brick. He doesn't, no. You know what he does? He says, listen, this is our city. God is our God. What we see here, yes, it's external. It's in waste. And it's not even about something internal the way we feel. But the work that we're doing is eternal. And that's what we need to know. The work that we're doing for God is eternal. This is an eternal work, loved one. No, listen, he says we need to rise up, man. We need to build. We need to bring glory to God. And you know what? The walls are torn down there, but also the people. They were distressed. They were depressed and so forth. And the reason? They had absolutely no leadership. And you know what's sad? The people for years, matter of fact, it's probably been 100 years. Now, the temple had been rebuilt, but it had been about 100 years since Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem, and all the rubbish was still there. The walls were still torn down. The gates had been burned with fire. That was back in 586 B.C. under Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what? For all that time, the people of God walked around the rubbish, on the rubbish, through the rubbish. Nobody did anything about it. You know, you have to ask yourself a question. How are the walls in your home? How are the gates in your home? When you come home, do you still walk through the rubbish? Is there a bunch of debris there and it's like walking through a minefield? Loved one, listen. You know, we all have to ask ourselves, you know, in our marriages and our whatever, are we just living with the damage? God says, I don't want you to live with the damage. I don't want you to walk around the debris. I want you to do something about it. I want you to restore the place. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Just like the church today, man, we need to rise up and we need to do exactly the things that God wants us to do, because we live in a time people are more personal pain today than ever before, and we have the answer to man's greatest need. His name is Jesus. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. We live in a city, we live in a state, we live in a nation where people are seeking relief, but not through truth, just seeking relief any way that they can find it. It takes leadership to bring change. Nothing happens without leadership. And the only way to get a plan is to go to the prayer room. If you go to the prayer room, God will say, I'll give you a plan. You want to take this city? I'll give you the plan because I want to take this city. Do you understand? Yes. In verse 18, and I told them, watch what he did, and I told all those people that were there that the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that had spoken to me, so they said, look what they did, let us rise up and what? And build. So they set their hands, or literally they strengthened their hands to what kind of work? This good work. Ephesians 2:10 says we were created for what? Good works. Loved one, listen, to work for God is a good thing to do. And you know what? So what did Nehemiah do? He did what we always do ourselves. He gave them his personal testimony. He said, man, listen, I went to pray and 4 months and God gave me the plan. And said, not only that, the good hand of God was upon me when I met with the king and the king granted the request. We are on a roll, fellows. Do you understand? That's what he was saying here. And so the people, how did they respond again? Let's rise up. I'm with you, Nehemiah. Let's build. Now, why did that happen? Well, Nehemiah, number one, he had the plan of God. But number two, he transferred the plan of God to the people. Boy, that is so important. You see, leadership, you know, leaders impart the vision, then the people take the vision and implement the vision. Amen? Without that, it doesn't work. See, one man cannot do it. It takes all of us. And so what did he do? He transferred God's plan to them. Now it was no longer Nehemiah's plan. It was no longer in secret. Now it's everyone's plan. Now all they had to do was to rise up and build. Verse 19, and when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, the official, now comes the third guy, and Geshem the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us. In other words, they regarded us with contempt and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? In other words, Nehemiah, you're plotting a rebellion against King Artaxerxes. You know better than that. Even though they knew that Nehemiah had letters from the king, they were trying to confuse the people, the ones that just received the message from Nehemiah. Again, the moment that any of you, me, this church, any Christian, the moment that you rise up and say, I'm going to do this for the Lord, I have the plan of God, I'm going to tell you, others are going to mock you, they're going to ridicule you, they are going to laugh at you, and they're going to oppose you. In other words, they could have said, Nehemiah, this rubbish and all this stuff, Ezra didn't clean it up, Zerubbabel didn't clean it up, it's been that way for nearly 100 years. And now you're going to clean this place up? I don't think so. They were mocking them. And that's the same thing that happens to us. Now listen, two things. Number one, did Nehemiah argue with his enemies? No. Did his enemies discourage Nehemiah? No. You know why? Because Nehemiah had the plan. And the good hand of God was upon him. Amen? Just like it is upon you. And boy, I look, oh God, no, Nehemiah, he's in charge now. Watch this, verse 20. So I answered them, you know, turn or burn, no, and said to them, do your worst, in other words. He looked at them and said, do your worst. And here's why. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. What a word. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage, you have no right, you have no memorial in Jerusalem. In other words, you have no claim or share because you have no heritage with us. You're not Jews, you're foreigners, you're Samaritans, you're outcast. Ammonites are not even allowed, it says in Deuteronomy, to come into the temple. He says, oh no, Nehemiah is saying, you think we're going to do this in our strength, our power, by our own might? Oh, no, no. He says, listen, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. And we're going to rebuild Jerusalem's walls and gates. We're going to clean out all of the rubbish. And you're not going to have one share or any part in it. Why? Again, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. And he'll prosper us too. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now unto him, meaning God our Father, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that dwells within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to not one generation, but to all generations forever and ever. He says, amen. Listen, you don't and I don't, listen carefully. We don't question the fact that God is able, but do you believe that he is able for you, for whatever it might be in your life? Tell me one thing that God cannot do. For with God, the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things, Jesus said, are possible to those who believe. The word, you've heard me say so many times, the word difficult, too hard for me, is not in God's vocabulary. He says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. We ask so little of God because we don't spend enough time in prayer, believing God for the impossible. It says, above all that we ask or even think, and man, I can think a lot of things. Loved one, listen. You know what? The God of himself, it says, will prosper you. Prayer, you want to be a leader in your home, in your workplace, as a father, as a mother. You want to be a pastor. You want to be step into ministry. You need to remember and never forget this. Prayer is your lifeline to leadership. You know, God is not impressed with how we pray or how long we pray. Do you understand? That doesn't impress. Or using the King James, I'll bow this, though, you know. No, it's that when we approach God and we believe him and we humble ourselves before him, we can do nothing without Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Prayer is the lifeline of leadership. Listen, and we are what we are because of what we do with the opportunities that God gives us. And if we don't, how many opportunities have we missed? I was speaking with a gentleman tonight who told me about an opportunity that he missed just this week with a person who came up to him, and he was in a hurry. We've all been there, but he had a chance to talk to him about Christ. I've been there. We've all been in a hurry, haven't we? Oh, listen, no, I don't want those opportunities to pass us by. Listen, it says the God of heaven himself will prosper you. Here's what I've learned over the years that I've been in ministry, that I don't have to be afraid. I have to be wise. I have to pray. I have to plan with God. I have to obey the Word of God. I have to understand what the Word of God means. Okay, but listen, I don't have to be fearful to step out and serve God, because where God guides, he always provides. You see, that's why he said the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Listen, when God calls you, you know, I talked to a fellow the other day about being in the ministry, wonderful brother. And I said, and we talk about education, you know, Bible college and this. And I said, those are wonderful things. But you know what? If God calls you, he then equips you. Do you know God and the Holy Spirit in 5 seconds can give you 5 PhDs? Do you understand? I mean, listen, he is all we need. He is the divine helper of the church. God called uneducated and untrained men and women. Listen, no, we don't have to be fearful. We just found out in chapter 2 that when God charges us with his plans, he pays the bills. And that's what God does. You see, the God of heaven himself, when you step out with his plan, will prosper you. There's no one like you.
Pastor Bill's study in Nehemiah continues on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.